Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa amma ba'd fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim wa qala allazina kafaru la tasma'u li hadhal qur'an walghaw fihi la'allakum taghlibun sadaqallahu alazim سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters that are listening. Inshallah, in our evening session, I just want to continue from the Jumu'ah session. The last segment of the Jumu'ah session was about this controversial movie that is being screened throughout UK and especially in Asian areas where you have a large Muslim population. And that movie is the Kerala story. And we touched on this in Jumu'ah, that movies are not just for entertainment, but it's a very powerful tool that is often used to promote an agenda or any kind of a propaganda that you want. And we have seen this throughout history. And the same goes for this movie also. And so in this movie, what is shown is to depict the Muslim community as Muslims are people who have this religion, and the backdrop of this religion is the ISIS ideology, Aliyazu Billah. And so that is how this entire movie is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, my respected brothers. It's our duty also to speak out, to educate the youth, the ummah, so that we understand, alhamdulillah, where we are. And movies is this very powerful instrument to say, because you are in the cinema, it's dark, everything is shut from you, and it's just pure concentration. You have this large screen that is in front of you. And for 2 hours, 3 hours, you are seated there, and your disc can be completely wiped out, as in your mind. The bayans that an imam will do for 1 month is nothing compared to a 1 hour, 2 hour movie. And so you have the sound bites, you have heroes, you have action, you have all sorts in the modern world, the technology that is there. And generally what happens with the masses, the public don't actually have time to understand what is right and what is wrong. They don't have time to research.
And so for them it will just be what we have seen is right. And so what they see in the cinema, in the screen, that is it. So it's a very powerful tool of propaganda that in the modern world it is used on a big level, at a big screen, and people go, and especially, you know, with your actors and actresses that are out there. And it is actually there to promote a very, very important message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us. That is the problem with the Muslim community. The Muslim community has got a lot of money. We should also be making documentaries. What should Muslims be doing? Making documentaries. Look, you're not living back in the ages. You are living in a world now that every week there is something new that's out there in the market in terms of technology. And there is so much money out there. And the Muslims should also be countering this, people who have wealth, to show the positive side of Islam and to show the evil side of those that are the real perpetrators of terror. The real perpetrators of terror. So we should be doing that. We see this, mashallah, in the time of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, when the Byzantine Empire had this powerful army, and they were the people who came up with the navy, the first very strong navy. It was the Byzantine Empire. And Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an decided that Muslims should be even more powerful. And the Muslim army should even be more sophisticated. So we see this, alhamdulillah. We actually don't know how to use our money. Our money just goes, oh, where is it? People, earthquake, bas wahan paisa de diya. Khatam. Nothing is not used for spreading Iman, Islam, fi sabilillah. Concept is not there. Allah save us. We are very, very backwards, my respected brothers. Kursi se main baith jaun. The sun is the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Vitamin D to sabko mil rahi hai na bhai. Aap sabko mil rahi hai na. To, oh, jazakallah. Jazakallah. And so for them, the screening of this movie is very, very important, because they are now sending out a message of who really the Muslims are. And every person who comes out from the theater hall, and if you ask them, what do you think, you will see that within the 2-hour framework, their mind has completely changed. And so this is the kind of world that we actually live in. So now this movie was all about showing that Islam is about spreading terror, number one. But that was not all. Right now, especially in India and in many parts of the world, shockingly, the countries that promote themselves to be democratic, what is it? Democratic. They really are not democratic. In fact, things have changed so much. So we shouldn't be calling them also a democratic society. Democratic society has a lot of freedom. In fact, there's a bit of democracy in this country. So what happens is that when they have seen so many people are converting to Islam, the issue is this. Why are so many people becoming Muslims? Nobody from any other faith, you don't see so many converts. You don't see other people of other nationalities. You'll find one group of people, you know, that because of the drug industry that's there, the Hare Rama Hare Krishna movement that you see, that is also a minority, but for them it's completely different. But overall in the world, how many people are accepting Islam? And especially in India, and especially women that are accepting Islam. And so in order to stop this, they coined this concept which is called love jihad. What is it called? Love jihad. So what is love jihad? I'll try to make it very easy for the brothers. Let's break it up. There are two words here. One is love and one is jihad. Bas. If you can understand that, you'll know the meaning. So this word that has been coined up as love jihad means that there is an organization in the Muslim community that is targeting women in the name of love. In the name of love. So what they are doing is that they are targeting non-Muslim women and especially Hindu girls and making them fall in love, because that's love, and to have this boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. But there's no sincerity. That is what they are saying. There is no sincerity. And why is there no sincerity? Because with love, there's another word that is attached. What is it? Jihad. So they are saying it is their form of jihad to convert our ladies into being Muslims, into converting to Islam, and then using our women to spread terror. Now, how foolish is that? How foolish is that? But yet you will see in many parts of India, love jihad has been institutionalized. It's taken in as law and very serious. Why? So that no woman, especially a woman, if she wanted to embrace Islam or convert to Islam with sincerity, there is always this fear. And so if somebody wants to become a Muslim now, he really can't become a Muslim. If his name is a non-Muslim name, and if he goes to the authority that, look, why do you want to be a Muslim for? What is it? There's all sorts of questions. So this kind of fear-mongering, this fear-mongering has to be kept alive. And so because of that also, this Shuddhi project also exists in that part of the region, with the aim that those who have converted to Islam, we will reconvert them back to Hinduism. But anyway, we won't go into that. Now, subhanallah, how shocking is that? This fantasy that people believe in, that there is an organization. So where is this organization? Where is this organization? There is no organization. There is no such organization. And subhanallah, we have seen in many parts of the world, the only reason that these laws are now being passed on is to make sure that it becomes hard for the Muslims to invite anyone towards Islam. Zakir Naik is a perfect example. Worldwide audience. And what happens? So many people were listening to him, and he was talking about Hinduism and preaching to them that even in Hinduism, idol worshipping is wrong, and he was showing it to them from their own books, from their own scriptures. At a professional level, he was prepared to debate, and he was talking to people, and many people were listening to him. So now what happened is that they came up with an excuse. You see, when you want to stop something, that, oh no, there's some kind of money laundering and he's not paying taxes and there's a lot of money coming into this organization. Just blatantly, any lie that you can think of to stop this man from doing his works. And so now what happens is that he has had to move to Malaysia. He's had to move to Malaysia. One of the most beautiful countries in the world. What is it? Malaysia. Gone to Malaysia. And not only that, there are so many other scholars. Maulana Gautam Sahib, who used to come here. And in Delhi, he had the Islam Information Center. And so, he was providing a service because he himself was a revert. So, if anybody who wanted to know about Islam, that service was there, that look, you know what, we are not forcing you, but obviously in a democratic society, in the world that we live in, every person is very free to choose whatever he wants. So if you want to accept Islam, we will teach you. And even until now, he is put in prison. And wo dusre maulana the, abhi hal mein he was released. Just Maulana Kaleem Siddiqui. Maulana Kaleem Siddiqui. The same thing for him. And so now what is happening, my respected brothers, in the name of love, jihad, this conspiracy. And there is no such thing as there are Muslims out there dashing out to grab girls of different communities. Alhamdulillah, hamari aurte to bahut hai. Kitni hai? We have a very large group of the Muslims anyway. So, and we should be thinking of that anyway. Now, I'm just going to explain to you Islamically. So, alhamdulillah, you know, we as Muslims, our minds are very clear and that we appreciate what a beautiful religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And mashallah, I see some of the youth that are here, new faces. May Allah bless you. Come and sit regularly. Come and listen to the lectures. Inshallah, it will be of great benefit because it is the youth. You are the future of Islam. And it is so important that the youth have this strong mind and understanding about the deen. MashaAllah. If they have that, alhamdulillah. You know, it's going to be very easy for the community. And so I had mentioned this in my Jumu'ah session, that first of all, you can't force anyone to become a Muslim. How can you force anyone to become a Muslim? I once had a group that came to visit the center. So they said to me that, is it true, Imam, that Islam spread by the sword? Islam spread by the sword. So I said, okay, can you explain to me how is that possible? What did I say? Can you explain to me how is that possible? Did that sword remain on the heads of the people 24 hours? Now, how can Islam spread by sword? Can anybody explain? I really don't know. How? There's no way that you can, of course there have been wars, and that is not with Islam, that is with everybody. You know, the Roman Empire was there, the Persian Empire was there. History, look at history, you'll find World War I was not triggered by the Muslims, World War II was not triggered by the Muslims. You know, the bombing in Japan, Hiroshima and all that, these were not Muslims. And even now, in many of the countries, the terror attacks are by the white supremacist extremists, not the Muslims. So how can you force someone to become a Muslim? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted everyone to become Muslim, Allah would have made everyone a Muslim. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that freedom, that Allah is saying that you have to make the right choice from your heart. You have to make the right choice from your heart. You cannot be a Muslim even if you read the kalima 1,000,000 times. You are reading the kalima 1,000,000 times, you are not a Muslim. You are only a Muslim if that kalima connects with your heart. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ad-deenu an-nasiha. Islam is about sincerity. Islam does not want a drama from anyone. Allah does not want that. Look, Allah does not need your numbers. Allah does not look at your numbers. So there is no such thing in Islam that we have a mission that we want to kidnap your women or women. Astaghfirullah. Now, when are people going to stop this nonsense? And the more you demonize Islam and you promote Islam in a negative way, alhamdulillah, the results are always the opposite. More and more people want to know about Islam. So there is this very important injunction in the Quran that we need to understand, and that is La ikraha fid deen. La ikraha fid deen. There is no force or compulsion in Islam. There is no force or compulsion in Islam. In this deen, you can't force no one. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an had a young boy who would often come and see him. And if I'm not mistaken, I read this many years ago, he was a Christian boy. What was he? Christian boy. And Hazrat Umar then said to him that, don't you feel you want to become a Muslim? And he says, well, don't you know there is no force in Islam? Don't you, who is he saying that? Don't you know there is no force in? Hazrat Umar smiled at him. So in Islam, there is no compulsion. We are not there. There is whatever your laws are, whatever you can put in now and frame it in your love jihad itinerary and your laws that you are saying. Already 1400 years ago, Allah has told the Muslims, there is no compulsion, there is no force in Islam. Even people who went to jihad, and if there were any captives that were captured or soldiers that were captured, that freedom was given to them. There was no force for them to become Muslims. No. Because that is your own individual exam and a test between you and Allah. So there is no such thing as force conversion. Understand this, my respected brothers. And then if we look at history, for nearly 8 centuries, the Muslims had ruled India. How many? The Muslims had ruled Spain for 8 centuries. How many? 8 centuries. Did they force anyone to become Muslims? If they forced anyone to become Muslim, then Barcelona entire team would be Muslims. What is it? Football team, kitni jitni hai na Spanish, ye sare kaun hote? Abdullah, Yusuf, Keke, Pepe, nahi hote the. No Keke and Pepe. There would have been all Abdul Rahman and all these names. So Muslims have never forced by. Muslims have always had a very, very big heart. Of course we are well-wishers. Of course Islam is a missionary religion, no doubt. That we will always have a group of people that will invite you to Islam. But so what? Isn't that, you know, your democratic rights? Just like how you are selling items, you are talking to people about what is good. You might have a product that you want to sell and promote. You do that in everything. So we are trying to invite people to Islam, but one is to invite and one is to force. What is it? Nobody forces. La ikraha fid deen. So for 8 centuries, Muslim ruled Spain and Portugal. Even now, the majority are the Spaniards that are Christians and the Portuguese that are Christians and the minority are Muslims. In India, if these kings forced anyone, do you think there would have been a single man remaining to be a Hindu there? Not at all. And even now you will find that the majority are non-Muslims there, as in Hindus, and Muslims are a minority. So this we have to understand, my respected brothers, that in Islam there is no force. But our fundamental duty which we should be doing until we die is to give dawah. What is it? Dawah. Dawah should never stop. Dawah should never stop. At any opportunity, because mashallah, that is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and because that is the only way a person can enter into Jannah. So much so, my respected brothers, that understand one ruling, the greatest human being, who is that? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not force anyone to be a Muslim. So when you talk about love, jihad, even our Nabi could not force anyone to be a Muslim. How is that? Allah's Nabi was so anxious, he wanted his uncle to be a Muslim. He loved his uncle, the father of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He went to him during his deathbed, the last moments of his life. Chacha, uncle, just whisper in my ears only one thing, that you bring iman upon Allah and His Rasul without force. Just say it, whisper. Bas itna keh do mere andar. Subhanallah. And he did not read the kalima. He did not read the kalima. He wished that the uncle would read the kalima, but he did not. And the verses were revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innaka la tahdi man ahbabta. O my Nabi, it is not even in your power to give hidayat. You can't make anyone a Muslim. It's not in your power. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But this prerogative, this power is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my respected brothers and elders, so when we are talking about this love jihad, as if there is a group out there, this is all about scaremongering. And this is all about the Hindutva ideology, Modi making sure that he is re-elected in the elections by making the people, the Indian community, very scared. If you don't vote for me, then your women are not safe. Your numbers are not safe. Your women are not safe. Your numbers are not safe. And so all of these things, at the right moment, you will see the release of a film. So that is why, my respected brothers and elders, alhamdulillah, we should be understanding this, that in Islam there is no such thing as love jihad. We are not, in fact, Islam does not allow us in this way to force anyone to become a Muslim. Now, another proof of that is that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to the people of Iman that you are not to disrespect the places of worship. Where is that? In the Quran. That you are not to desecrate the church, the synagogues, the monasteries. What is it? Bi'u, salawat, masajid. These are the words in the Quran. Now when the Quran and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the people of Iman that sanctity and respect should be given to other religions, if they want to follow that, you allow them to follow because that is their own choice. Whether they are right, whether they are wrong, that is between me and them on the day of Qiyamah. We will sort that out. Ne? Everything will be sorted on the day of Qiyamah. So when Islam is saying to the people of Iman that you are not to even desecrate a synagogue. You're not even to break one brick of a church. Or demolish, as you see in many parts of India, masjids being bulldozed. Churches that are being bulldozed. The Christian community does not feel safe. But in Islam, you'll never find this. The churches have to be protected. Synagogues have to be protected. The monasteries also have to be protected. So these are things that we need to understand, that in Islam there is no such thing as forced conversion. Itni baat samajh mein aayi, my respected brothers? Another very crystal clear ruling from the Quran, which will make it even more abundantly clear for us that how beautiful our deen is. My respected brothers and elders, marriage, nikah, is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min sunanil mursaleen. It is the sunnah of all the prophets that have come. For the youth that are not married and are bachelors, what are they? Bachelors. Aapne bachelors remain nahi hona hai, sahi hai na? You don't want to be a bachelor, do you? No. You need to get married. These masail are very, very important for us to understand. Who can you marry? This is in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Muslim community that وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَ. A Muslim is not allowed to marry a mushrika. Who? A mushrika. Who is a mushrika? Idolaters. Idolaters. Idol worshippers. Mushrik. What is it? That you are not allowed. وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَ. So the Quran first of all is telling every Muslim, never mind forced conversion, never mind, you know, having this agenda. First of all, as Muslims, you cannot marry mushrika. What is it? Mushrika. Some of the scholars from this ayat-e-kareema, some are of the opinion that this is a general ruling. That a Muslim just cannot marry anyone, but only a Muslima. And a Muslim woman can only marry a Muslim, and a Muslim man can only marry a Muslim woman. And that is how we should be looking at it also, in very simple terms. So, وَلَا تَنْكِعُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَ. Especially if a lady is mushrika, there is no possibility for you to marry them. Even if you do nikah, Imam Saab has done nikah, is that nikah valid?
No.
It is only valid with one condition, hatta yu'min. That if that woman accepts iman from the heart, if she accepts iman from the heart. Now, let me explain to you and just move slightly in a different tangent so that we understand. My respected brothers, Allah is the one who gives hidayat. What does he do? Inna Allah yahdi man yasha. Allah is the one who gives hidayat. When someone is not a Muslim, and when Allah decides to give that person hidayat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause a situation to trigger in his life for that person to become a Muslim. Understand this. Allah will cause some situation to trigger in his life for him to become a Muslim or for her to become a Muslim. Example. He might be reading a book, and he started to read a book and it talked about Islam. And whilst reading the book, he felt a bit inclined to Islam. and he started to do his research, and now more and more his heart opened up to Islam. He went to a Muslim country, and he is there working in a Muslim country in the Gulf state, and there he sees Muslims, mashallah, and just here, there was a lady who recited the kalima at masjid here. And when I spoke to her, she had a few questions. And I said to her, you know, what made you accept Islam? So she said that, you know, I live off Evington Road. You know those side streets there? So in the summer days, my window is open and I hear this beautiful call to prayer. What is it? And so when I hear the call to prayer, I put my ears outside the window and I find it so relaxing. So the call to prayer is an invitation for this woman to accept. So there are different ways that Allah attracts a person to Islam. The fundamental mistake that we think also, this is from Shaitan, that we think that, oh, you know what, this lady has got a Muslim boyfriend and she is going to now read the kalima. Is she doing it for the boyfriend or is she doing it for Allah? Don't make that mistake, my respected brothers, that it is only Allah who opens the heart for a person to read the kalima. Sometimes even this connection to a man is a reason for her to do research into Islam. To do research into Islam. And just like somebody is watching a TV program or a documentary about Islam, or she starts reading the seerah book of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or some friends in college, university talk to their friend about Islam, and they say, you know what, you're right. I really want to become a Muslim. And mashallah, they become a Muslim. So there are different reasons in the world why it is triggered and for them to accept Islam. Now for a person to remain a Muslim or for him not to remain a Muslim, that guarantee is with no one. Not even you and I. We pray to Allah, Allah give us khatima bil khair. But my respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly said that you cannot marry a woman who has got shirk in the heart. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Muslim women that you cannot marry a man who is a mushrik. وَلَا تُنْكِعُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُ. That you can't marry until they also bring iman. But what is amazing, subhanallah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that وَلَا تُنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا. You can only marry if they have iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying وَلَا عَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ. That even a male slave who has iman is better than that man who has got kufr in the heart. And Allah is saying a female slave, وَلَا أَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكَ. And a female slave, she is far more better than a woman who is mushrika, the one who is not a Muslim. And the Quran, it has used two terms, وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ. Even if she is very, very pretty. Even if she is very, very pretty. Allah is saying that female slave who is a mu'mina, she is better than even a woman who is considered to be very pretty, but the real beauty is not the beauty that is outwardly. The real beauty is the beauty of iman, which she hasn't got. And so, subhanallah, there was one sahabi whose name is Hazrat Abdullah ibn Rawaha. Abdullah ibn Rawaha had a female slave. And what happened is that there was an argument, and in that argument he got angry and he slapped the female slave. What did he do? For which he felt great remorse, guilty, that, Ya Allah, I hit this lady. بہت برا ہوا. سو ہی وینٹ ٹو رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اینڈ ہی سیز او نبی او اللہ مجھ سے تو بہت بڑا گناہ ہو گیا, یو نو آئیو ڈن سم تھنگ, سو واٹ شیل آئی ڈو؟ حضور علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام سے دس فیمیل سلیو آف یورز, ہو از شی؟ سو ہی سیز او نبی او اللہ, شی بلیوز ان اللہ, شی بلیوز ان یو ٹو بی دا رسول آف اللہ, شی ڈز گڈ وضو, شی پریز نماز, شی فاسٹ, شی از اے ویری پریکٹسنگ لیڈی. سو رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سیز یا ابا عبد اللہ ہذہ مؤمنہ, دیٹ شی از اے مؤمنہ اینڈ ہاؤ کین یو ہٹ ہر؟ سو ہی فیلٹ سو مچ ریموس بینگ اے سلیو وومن, ہی ڈیسائڈیڈ دیٹ ٹو کمپنسیٹ فار دا رانگ ہی از گوئنگ ٹو میری دا سلیو وومن. So when he got married to the slave woman, of course, in the community, people started to talk about Abdullah ibn Rawaha, that he is a free man. He had all the women to marry, but yet he decided to marry a slave woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse in his honor upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling the Muslims that what he did marrying a female slave is far more better than marrying a woman who is in the state of kufr. So that is why, my respected brothers and elders, even when it comes to marriage, one has to be very, very careful. Now some people, Allah save us, and 1400 years ago the Quran was revealed, and already Allah has used this ayat, the word a'jabatkum a'jabakum, which means that even, you know, if you are touched by their beauty or any kind of good that you might see in them, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying at the end? He said they have got something in the heart. What is Allah saying? The beauty that you see outwardly, don't look at that. They have got something in their heart which is not compatible to you. So Allah is saying, أُولَٰئِكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. It is the kufr that is in their heart that is calling you to Jahannam. So are you going to fall for that beauty and take an invitation to Jahannam? Allahu Akbar. And wallahu yad'u ila al-jannati wal maghfirati bi'idhn. And Allah is saying, for that man and for that woman who's got iman, because of iman, Allah is going to call you to maghfirat and towards jannah. So the choice is yours. So alhamdulillah, the Muslim men are in no rush at all to get married to any kind of mushrika, are we? Not at all. And a man and a woman is totally free, my respected brothers, that whatever they want to do in this dunya, that is there. But however, this very important rule, that even when you get married, you have to make sure that you are getting married to who? A Muslim. Now somebody might say that, you know, why two people like each other, then why should they not get married? Bhai, it doesn't work, because marriage is partnership and about compatibility. What is it? If they are going to be incompatible for one another, this marriage is not going to last. So for an example, if a Muslim woman was to marry, Allah save, another mushrik man, Allah save, and you know, you say that it's okay, we like each other, then that Muslim man might say, you know what, my favorite meat is pork. I'm going to put it in the fridge. And the Muslim lady says, well, for me, meat has to be HMC. So on top, you can put your pork, underneath you put your HMC meat. Is that going to work? And then you have a future child. And then the child that is born, the father will say, I want to call him Dharmendra. I don't know this name, this is coming. I'm going to call him Dharmendra. My family wants to call him Dharmendra. And the Muslim lady is saying, no, but we are Muslims. Now imagine the difficulty that the man and woman is going to go through. The woman will say, you know what, I want my child upbringing to go to Masjid Umar for madrasa. He'll say, no, we can't send him there. Fights upon fights, arguments upon arguments. So Allah is so merciful, He shut the door of incompatibility. For you to become incompatible, Allah is saying, look, janjat ko choro bhai, tumhe ye boat chahiye? You want this burden? You want this burden? Allah is saying that the greatest love is the love for Allah. And you are being tested in your love, that who do you love? Can you sacrifice this? And this was Sahaba-e-Kiram ajma'in. Allah give them the highest honor. You know, when they became Muslims and when it was time for hijrat, there were families that the man was a Muslim, the lady did not become a Muslim. And there was a time when the lady became a Muslim, but the husband was not a Muslim. They had kids and children. And it was time to do hijrat. And they would look at each other. The man will say, are you going to accept Islam willingly? Yes or no? No force. If the woman said no, the husband would say, Khuda Hafiz, my love for Allah and His Rasul is far more greater, and he would do hijrat. Ladies would ask the husband, I am a Muslimah now. Do you want to accept Islam? No? Okay. The Quran says we can't marry a mushrik man, so we are going to now go back to Darul Khilafah Madina Munawwara. So we have examples in the Islamic seerah, my respected brothers. So we have to be very, very careful. There is no such thing as forced conversion. There is no such thing as love jihad. First of all, we can't even marry someone who is not prepared to willingly accept Islam. You can't even marry them, bhai. It's like saying, I pray namaz without wuzu. Can that happen? You can't. How can you pray namaz without wuzu? It's like, I'm going to go for hajj but without ihram. It doesn't work. These are rules and regulations. So my respected brothers and elders, for us to understand this very important ruling, that alhamdulillah, there is no such thing as forced conversion. Now, I'm going to explain to you, why do people accept Islam and why is Islam the fastest growing religion in the world? Alhamdulillah, you know, I am personally talking with experience also in this field. Alhamdulillah, we have been doing the work of Dawah for a long, long time by the mercy of Allah, and you know, and I will tell you why people accept Islam. Why are people attracted to Islam? What are the real reasons? So very quickly, I jot down about 6 points. There are so many other points. But just for our Muslim brothers to understand, why are so many people interested in Islam? Number one, my respected brothers, people are reverting and converting to Islam because people are looking for sukoon. What are they looking for? Money cannot buy contentment. Ye tumhari Tina Turner turn ho gayi. Kaun si? Tina Turner. Mushtaq knows her very well. He knows so many people, but I'm not going to reveal everything about Mushtaq. Tina Turner, a house where? Switzerland. The most expensive country in Europe. Switzerland. Kabhi jana hai holiday, bank balance khatam ho jayegi. Shabir should be there, you know, doing the works. Most expensive. But you've got beautiful lakes there. It's a very pretty looking country. Switzerland. Arshad bhai, you were there, weren't you? Ji. And so, you die, but you die without iman. You can have a beautiful, lavish property. Lekin tumhare paas iman nahi hai. Sukoon, the world is looking for sukoon. There are so many people today, they have so much money. So much money. But the one thing they don't have is what? Contentment. So people are actually looking for sukoon and contentment. The problem with the Muslim community, we are so insular And we have this problem, especially the Muslims from the subcontinent. Ye jo hamare India, Pakistan, Bangladeshi community ke jo Musalman hote hain, they are kind of allergic to giving dawah to the non-Muslims. You'll find the Arabs in their blood, mashallah, they give a lot of dawah. But we won't. So when it comes to giving dawah to the non-Muslims, we don't, which is our fundamental mistake, nicely. Because the people are looking for what you have got, and that is sukoon. My respected brothers, the sukoon that you have before Maghrib, that you will raise your hands and ask Allah and say, Ya Allah, that is priceless. Your Subhana Rabbi al-Azim and your Subhana Rabbi al-A'la is a blank check. Blank check. They are looking for contentment. And contentment they only get when they understand Tawheed. And Tawheed is only understood in Islam. Because Islam gives you a focus in life, and Islam gives you the rationale that you only worship one God, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. This understanding opens the door of sukoon and contentment. Most of the people who accept Islam because of this. I remember when we first came to UK and we were living in Ealing Broadway, and there, alhamdulillah, my grandfather was giving dawat to a Hindu family that was living upstairs. It was flats upstairs. So they were talking. So alhamdulillah, you know, the two girls became Muslim. The brother also became Muslim. And his name was Salim. And after many years, when I had met him, I said, Salim, how are you? Because we had moved to Leicester and he went somewhere in Dewsbury somewhere. And he's passed away. Allah give him Jannah. Subhanallah. Kya maut. So anyway, when I asked him, I said to him, Salim, you know, you've become a Muslim. How do you feel? You know what he said to me? I'm a king. One answer. I'm a king. He was so proud of himself. And you see the light in his face, a handsome looking man. I'm a king. I said, you're a king. He said something to me which is still in my heart. He says, Maulana, Allah ki qasam, I love Allah so much. And Allah loves me so much that if I raise my hands and ask Him, Allah, I want a Rolls Royce tomorrow, He will give it to me. That is Iman. That is Iman. That is Iman. That is that private connection, this kind of sukoon that only comes in what? Your deen. People out, they become Muslims not because of love jihad. No. They become Muslim because they are truly looking for the right thing in life, sukoon, haq, number one. Number two, people accept Islam because Islam is the only religion. Azan kitne baje? 13 past. Brothers, just bear with me, inshallah, I just want to finish this topic. Islam is the only religion in the world that can answer all of your questions. You go to any other person, they'll say, these questions you shouldn't ask. These questions you shouldn't ask. But what does Islam say? Give it. What questions have you got? What do you want to talk about? What subject? What subject? What questions do you have? Islam gives you the answers to all of your questions. And that is the beauty. And this is fascinating. That is why you will find that a lot of intelligent, intellectual people are attracted to Islam because Islam is logic. Islam gives you all the answers. So Islam is about contentment, tawheed, sukoon. Islam is about giving all your answers. Number three, why people accept Islam is because Islam is the only religion that gives you a clear understanding of your existence What is your purpose of life? This is very important. My brothers, you know, today, we don't even think about this because we are Muslims. Because already we are programmed, we know the existence of our life. When we wake up, we say we have to pray Fajr. You know, when it's the afternoon, our mind tells us you have to pray Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. Our minds are programmed because we know the reason why Allah has created us. Allah has created us so that we have to worship Allah in this dunya. So it gives you this clear purpose living in this dunya, which a lot of people don't know. That is why people do all sorts of things in this dunya. Why? Because they don't have a purpose in life, bichari. You see, some become hippies, some people do all sorts, bichari, you know, kabile raham. I always say to some of the people that sometimes what you should do, just take a chair and sit at Oxford Street, Oxford Circus, Oxford Street and a London man. Have you been there? No, you haven't. You people are neck. No, pious people, no. You've been there, eh?
Yeah.
So just sit there, Oxford Street, Oxford Circus, just sit there and turn your head from right to left and look at the different colors, different people, how the people are and what people are doing. And you have a tasbih in your hand. If there's a gair mahram lady, what are you supposed to do? Look down like Umar does. But other than that, if you look up, it is fine to see. Then you will have no choice but to thank Allah. Allah, you have given me hidayah. Allah, thank you, you have given me hidayah. You people don't know what is their purpose in life. Number three. Number four. Islam is the only religion that categorically gives you full information about your future. That how is Jannah and what is Alam-e-Akhirat, the day of Qiyamah, what will happen when you come out from the grave. This information you will not be given by any other doctrines, any other ideologies, any faith cannot give you so much detailed information as Islam gives you. The minute you come out from your grave, until your first step into Jannah, then from your first step into Jannah, until your eternal living into Jannah, that complete information only Islam gives. That is why people are excited and people accept Islam. Number five, the reason why people are attracted to Islam and why people accept Islam, Islam is the only religion in the world that has given humanity this highest level of moral code. Highest level of moral code. When it comes to akhlaq, when it comes to morality, then there is nothing like Islam. Nothing like Islam. You know, when you go to sleep and your daughter is saying, Abba, shall I press your legs? That you will not find in the Western world. Or when you go to sleep and your son and comes and tells you, Abba, you want me to press your head? Huh? That you will not find in the Western world. This very high moral code that you respect your imam. Ye bhi hai na? Imam ko bhi respect karo bhai. Your parents. Make salam. Haya. Look down. Helping your neighbors, helping the people of Iman. This moral, in fact, imagine, look at the ruling. Don't even backbite. Is there any religion in the world that tells you that it is part of their faith and you will be a sinner if you backbite? Is there any religion? In Islam, this is considered to be gunah-e-kabira. Don't even backbite. Look at the rulings. Highest level of moral code. This you will only find in Islam. That is why people are accepting Islam. And finally, at point number six, main to likhta likhta, bahut likhta, lekin I'm going to give you a break at six. Most, how many genders are there? Let's talk about gender again. How many?
Two. two.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Your people, yeah. Only two genders. Is it not 93, 97 genders? Two genders. Well done. From the two genders, who do you think is accepting Islam? Is it male accepting the most or female?
Female.
Now, why do you think female want to accept Islam? When there is so much about, you know, this promotion, Islamophobes talking about, you know, this is what Muslims do, this is what Muslims are doing to women, this and that. But Allah ki shan, most of the people from the two genders that are accepting Islam is what? Is female women. And you know why? Because the protection that Islam gives to a woman, despite all the propaganda that is out there, all the propaganda that is out there, more and more female are accepting Islam. Subhanallah. A woman all her life was wearing a mini skirt, showing her legs, for the hungry hippos to look and mess around with her. She reads the kalima and she puts on the burqa. Subhanallah. Now this power that is there, this security that Islam gives you. Look at the security that Islam gives you, that when a woman needs to travel, Allah Pak is saying, you know, protect your queen. Send a bodyguard with her. Send a bodyguard with her. And who is the bodyguard? Ji? Are mahram. Husband to theek hai. You are the bodyguard, no problem, woman. But a bodyguard can be any mahram. A son, mahram. Mother wants to go India. Ammi, I'll come with you. Woman wants to travel. Ammi, I'll come with you. Husband says, I'll... This honor that, you know what, Amma, a woman that travels, you don't even have to carry a bag. The khadims are there to carry it for you. But look at the spin that is given in the modern world. You say, oh, a woman can't even travel alone, you know, in Islam. Kya kehte? Anyway, the problem is that you have got a problem. You have made natural unnatural and unnatural natural. So most of the people that are accepting Islam are who?
Women.
And just to conclude now, my respected brothers, forget the love jihad concoction that is done by the Hindutva ideology, Hindutva people, this conspiracy that is there. In fact, now there is a movement, an open movement, organizations in India amongst the Hindutva groups, Allah save us. That is why it is so important that we have to make sure that our boys and girls are given the right upbringing and the right Islamic education. There is now a new movement called the Bhagwa Love Trap. Am I right, Mushtaq? What is it called? The Bhagwa Love Trap. Have you people heard of that? How many people have heard of the Bhagwa Love Trap? Haath uncha kare. MashaAllah. I'm surprised. Bahut kam log sunte hain. The Bhagwa Love Trap is organizations that are aiming, and these organizations actually give, if any Hindu man, and this is on record, you know, I'm not here inciting. I'm not here to incite. This is on YouTube. This is well promoted. These are ministers. Parliamentarian people talking. These are the people on the top. So this is, I'm not inciting hatred. It's not my duty to incite. I am educating. I am educating. Because these are things that are out there. We have to protect. And it is said that if one Hindu man can trap a young Muslim girl and make that Muslim girl fall in love with a Hindu man, and that Muslim woman becomes a Hindu because of loving that Hindu man, minimum 2.5 lakh rupees will be given. How many? Minimum from the organization, 2.5 lakh rupees will be given. Number two, accommodation will be given. And number three, government service, a good job will also be given to you. And there is an agenda that so many thousands of girls, Muslim girls, especially in the villages, and especially women who are not so educated, should be targeted by what we call the Bhagwa love trap. The Bhagwa love trap, and you trap Muslim women, and then what will happen is that when they become Hindus, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. That is why, my respected brothers and elders, it is unfortunate that in places like India and some of the other places, people don't have an understanding of our deen. What is it? We should have an understanding of our deen. These madrasas are very important. Sometimes we say, all these madrasas come for chanda. Chanda. So many madrasas, everywhere madrasas. Are bhai, these madrasas that are here are protecting the iman of your children. Why should we give to madrasas? This maulana coming, asking for chanda. This maulana coming, asking for chanda. Are bhai, even if you wash the feet of the maulana, it is not enough. Thank Allah that there are people who still have the fikr of your deen. That for £1 an hour or £2 per hour, they leave their daily job after working during the day. In the evening, they come to teach your children for £2 an hour. Make shukr. So when people actually come from the madrasa and they say, we've got this madrasa, that madrasa. Of course, I'm not saying that, you throw away your money, and if you know that somebody is doing something wrong, then of course Allah has given you the akal. Don't give your money to the wrong people. That's fine. But don't ever say that, why should we be giving to these organizations? These organizations are very, very important. And I also say to these, charity organizations, that there is so much money that is sitting in your account. Don't wait for a volcano or an earthquake to happen. Use your money in the right way by promoting Iman and Islam, by spreading Iman and Islam, by doing things that is going to protect your deen. That is what Islam wants. That is what Islam wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Today, my respected brothers, thousands of Muslim girls are becoming murtad. Thousands and thousands of Muslim girls in India are becoming murtad. Even in Bangladesh, Allahu Akbar. Atheism is like wildfire. Atheism. Allah save us. In the subcontinent, I'm just touching on India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh, and some of these countries. And we are just, thinking, what's happening? Why does this happen? Because we have not put a strong Islamic foundation in our children. Very important. And also, my brothers, make nikah easy. Today, our children are 29, 28, 27 years of age, bichare. They come to me, Mauli Sahab, I have a daughter. Mauli Sahab, I have a son. We are looking for someone. Are bhai, as a community, we should be thinking, let's make life easy for our children. If you find a child, mashallah, compatible for your daughter and your daughter for somebody else, then mashallah, what we should be doing is quickly getting them married. So this ummah, my respected brothers, is one. So these are the issues that we are facing in our community. This delay in marriage opens the door of zina. Gunah kabira. And when you get into the habit of zina, your iman becomes very weak, you are at an edge. Allah save us. So always follow the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always. And I even say to my, you know, my mothers and sisters that are listening out there, you know, don't take it, don't be Muslim ladies. There are so many Muslim women out there who are divorced ladies. What are they? Divorced ladies. Who do you think is going to marry a divorced lady? Do you think that person is going to marry a divorced lady who is going to be just like that? Sometimes if there is a man who Allah has given a lot of wealth and if he chooses to take another woman with sincerity that I am going to be looking after this woman, then my dear mothers and sisters, take that woman to be your sister. This is Islam. Why should we not look at Islam in the way that Islam is? We are Muslims. Aajkal hamare andar jo hai ghairon ke riwaj aa gaye. I'm not promoting anything else, but what I'm saying is that Islam gives us the solution. And this is the only way. They are our youth that are not getting married. They are our children that are divorced. They are not finding partners. Why is that? Why have we made this so difficult? We should open up. MashaAllah, we should be always working, talking together by kisi ke yahan kuch hai to chalo hum kuch aisi organization halal tareeke par. And the problem is sometimes when we start doing something, it is also un-Islamic. Why don't do something that is un-Islamic? Because if you do something un-Islamic, there is no barakat in it. So the concept of hijab must remain. You know, all of these things are also very, very important. But try to look for the right partners for our children. This is very important. Allah give us all the tawfiq. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.